Because people in this place are wandering in the wilderness, because people in this place are sitting in the valley of the shadow of death, we call out for love.
Because people all over the world are suffering and we are too busy to notice, we call out for love.
Today we stop everything and light these candles, one for hope, one for peace, one for joy, and one for love.
May the light of these candles overwhelm the world.
May the light of these candles illuminate the valley of the shadow of death.
May the light of these candles burn away everything that is preventing God's love from being born among us.
Please join me in the prayer of confession printed in your bulletin. Merciful God, as we come to the height of our Advent walk, as we stand in the glow of your love, peace, and radiant joy, have mercy on us. For all the mourning and pain we have caused, forgive us. For the tears that we have shed and the tears we have created, forgive us. Shine down on us and recreate us, so that we might be your agents of change in the face of apathy and your joy in the face of sorrow.
At the beginning, at the end, and in every time in between, the good news speaks of God's tender love and mercy for us. Friends, rise as you were able. Christ said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Turn now to one another and offer a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you. On behalf of Jesus Christ, let me be the first of many to welcome you to Old South Church in Boston, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. Welcome to those visiting for the first time or for the 40th time. Welcome to you, shepherds from afar and angels from just around the corner. Welcome, you committed Christians and you committed questioners. Welcome to this place of time-honored traditions and of new beginnings. Welcome to this place where we are waiting for the light, and we are so happy you joined us this morning. We are happy because we believe God is happy because you entered those doors. Welcome. At the end aisle of every pew, you will find a black friendship pad. Fill out as much information as you would like. If you leave enough, we promise to contact you, letting you know we are so overjoyed and so blessed that you joined us here this morning. Inside each of your bulletins, there are a few announcements. On a blue insert, you will find a glimpse into the life of Old South Church. With Bible studies, potlucks, faith on tap, and plenty of service opportunities, we can be sure that God is alive, alive, alive in this place. This coming Saturday, Christmas Eve, we warmly invite you to attend one of our Christmas worship services. Our family worship begins at 5 p.m., and it's your chance to sing your favorite carols and tell together the Christmas story, complete with angels and shepherds and animals. This service is perfect for all of those who need to get home to prepare for Santa, or for those who feel they won't be able to make it through an hour of church music at 8. Our lessons and carol service at 8 is extravagant and it's expressive. The service features carols and readings with music from the choir, strings, and the organ. And if those services just weren't enough to prepare your hearts for Jesus, you can meet us right there in that space through those doors into Gordon Chapel for a delicate, quiet, gentle service of carols and Holy Communion at 11 p.m. The next morning is Christmas morning, and it's a Sunday. It's the day the light becomes its brightest here in this place for Christmas Day festival worship. It will be our only service next Sunday, and it will take place at 10 a.m. Come celebrate the birth of that light into this world with a service of word, prayer, and carols. And that morning, we invite you to bring your light bright, bring your Nintendo, bring your stuffed animals, and if you can fit it on the tee, bring your new bike, because we will have a blessing of the toys. After a week of rejoicing and celebration, join us here and prepare and welcome in the new year. Details can be found in your bulletin of how you can do that here at Old South, including information about 3 concerts by Harry Huff, and also our Watch Night service at 11 p.m. in Gordon Chapel. And because we know that you'll be far, far from finished celebrating all the wonders of God in your life, we invite you again to return here on New Year's Day. It's a Sunday. For our one service will be at 10 a.m. in this space. Friends, I am happy because God is happy because you are all here. The Advent candles are lit and our choir is ready. Come, let us worship God. Thank you.
invite the children to stay right where you are and turn around to be here to help us with the baptism, if you would. And if there's other Old South children who'd like to come, and Vera, will you come forward with your parents and godparents for Christian baptism? Any other children want to come forward? We'll need your help in blessing the waters. Christian baptism is an outward and visible sign of inward and spiritual reality. Through the waters of baptism in this ritual, we proclaim that the gift of life, the gift of this child, is God's great gift to us, and we welcome her into the life of the church. We invite you to join with us in the litany of baptism. We are gathered to present Vera Zalapie to the church and to dedicate her to God. What can we affirm about her?
That she is the child of God, made in the image of God.
Friends, as Vera grows in our congregation, how will she know that she is a child of God, made in God's image?
We will give her our love and include her in the life and ministry of this congregation.
How will she learn of the Christian faith?
And what, in turn, will we expect of her?
We look forward to sitting with her at the Lord's table, sharing with her the cross and joys of discipleship, learning and growing with her in the Christian pilgrimage, and declaring with one voice our faith in God, in God's Son, Jesus.
And do you, Elena and Natan, parents, and Vola and Matthias, godparents, assume your primary responsibility for fulfilling these expectations by growing with this child in the Christian faith, helping her to become a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ, and by offering her the nurture and support of the Christian Church.
And do you, Old South congregation, pledge to work toward creating and maintaining a nurturing and challenging Christian environment for Vera?
We do, for she belongs to us as well.
Then may God be with us.
God help us. Amen.
We thank you, God, for the gift of creation called forth by your saving word. Before the world had shape and form, your Spirit moved over the waters. Out of the waters of the deep, you formed the firmament and brought forth the earth to sustain all life. In the time of Noah, you washed the earth with the waters of the flood, and your ark of salvation bore a new beginning. In the time of Moses, your people Israel passed through the Red Sea, from slavery to freedom, and crossed the flowing Jordan to enter the promised land. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, who was nurtured in the waters of Mary's womb. Jesus was baptized by John in the waters of the Jordan. He became living water to the woman at the Samaritan well, washed the feet of his disciples with water and the Holy Spirit. Now, as we extend our hands, blessed by your Holy Spirit, gracious God, this water, by your Holy Spirit, save those who confess the name of Jesus Christ, that sin may have no power over them or us. Create new life in those baptized today and in us, that together we may rise in Christ. Amen.
Amen. We need to let Vera come forward here. By what name is this child called? Vera, we baptize you in the name of the one whom Jesus called Abba, Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit be upon you, Vera, child of God, disciple of Jesus, and member of the church. Amen.
Amen.
We rejoice in God's empowering love freely given to each and all. We welcome you, newly baptized, into the circle of love in Christ's church. We promise to pray for you, to seek the depths of the faith with you, to support you, and to love you. We covenant with you to love God with all our hearts, minds, souls, and strength, and our neighbors as ourselves. Amen.
The children are invited to go to your church school classes. The congregation is invited to remain seated as we sing, and we will introduce your new sister in the faith, Vera, to you. Come with me.
And now for the word of the Lord in the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. She has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year Jubilee and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display God's glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robes of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to be sprung up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. This is the word of the Lord.
Will you pray for me? Lord, may the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, because you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As an undergraduate, my major was natural resources with a concentration in forestry. I spent a lot of time with trees. And like most people who spend a lot of time with trees, I have opinions about them. Not opinions in general, I have specific opinions about specific trees. Opinions which I have from time to time been told are a mite strong relative to the importance of the topic at hand. Nevertheless, have them I do, and express them I must, and so, with all due respect to Isaiah, I have to tell you that I would rather not be an oak of righteousness. Oak trees are dumb. Their crowns look like muffin tops with holes bored through them. They have those branches that come out at 90 degrees so the bottom is flat and the top is rounded, and the shade is terrible. It can barely be called dappled. Standing under an oak tree is basically just standing in a patch of sunlight with a couple of shadows in it, which is just what you would expect from a tree with spirally arranged leaves. And acorns. When people aren't beating each other in the head with them, they're slipping on them on the sidewalk or on the forest floor. And let me just say that if the spread and the sustenance of your species is dependent upon animals like squirrels forgetting where they stashed your nuts, then something has gone wrong with your evolution. What's oak wood good for? Wine barrels. And I hate oaky wine. If I wanted the taste of wood in my mouth, I would chew on some. So, with all due respect to Isaiah, I would rather not be an oak of righteousness. Isaiah, make me a sugar maple of righteousness. If I'm to be known as the planting of the Lord to display her righteousness, then give me a lovely oval crown of upward-reaching branches that blaze in the fall. Give me deep shade and sweet sap. Let my seed be thousands upon thousands of samaras for the children and the wind to toss into the air and watch come spiraling down. Let me feed the honeybees on my pollen before anything else has even flowered every spring. Let them make syrup from my blood and violins from my body. Better yet, let me one day become the neck of a Fender Stratocaster. That's what I would say if Isaiah asked, which he didn't. And so I'm stuck with this metaphor that doesn't work very well for me at all. Isaiah didn't ask my opinion, but he also didn't live in the Northeast United States. He lived in the Eastern Mediterranean, and things, to be fair, are different there. Fewer kinds of trees, fewer trees, period. A lot fewer, and actually, there, oaks are the most common trees of all. They're also the tallest, if the goats don't get to them when they're young. And though a tall Palestinian tree looks decidedly shrubby to someone from this part of the world, still each one seems like an oasis, like a little plot protected by the hand of God itself when one comes upon it in the aridness and the heat of that place. So in that way, Isaiah's metaphor makes sense. And in these ways, too, in Palestine, the oaks grow very slowly indeed, above the ground anyway. Below ground, they are sending down deep, deep tap roots fast. The wood of oaks in Palestine, as everywhere, is hard and strong and naturally resistant to rot. Palestine oaks are evergreen, and they can get to be very old. There's an oak just outside Hebron in the West Bank that tradition has long held is a descendant of the tree under which Abraham and Sarah once entertained angels unawares. Some claim it's the actual tree. It's probably not, but it could be a descendant, a scion of that tree. It's the most sacred tree in the Middle East, and for generation upon generation, Christians and Jews have made the pilgrimage there to touch it and to sit in its shade. A great monastery grew up around it to protect it once upon a time, and then, in 1996, it died. We have no way to date it accurately because no one is willing to cut it down and count the rings, but it's somewhere between 300 and 800 years old. In 1996, the most sacred tree in the Middle East died, but here's the thing, that was not the end. 2 years later, in 1998, the dead oak of Abraham grew itself a shoot right out of its roots. It's small and fragile, as such things usually are, but it's there. And what will happen next, no one knows. Earlier we sang the great Advent carol, O Come, Emmanuel. And the first verse we sang, the fourth verse that we sang addresses Jesus as the shoot of Jesse. O come, O shoot of Jesse, free. Way back at the beginning of the book of Isaiah, long before what Kate read for us today, the prophet says this, a shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Jesse was the father of David, the first of Israel's kings. God's promise through Isaiah was that that chosen, anointed line of holy leaders, which by Isaiah's time had been cut down by foreign powers, God promises that that line will one day sprout forth again from what looks like a dead stump. And the Christian claim, of course, is that it did exactly that in the person of Jesus Christ, the shoot of Jesse. Since the earliest days of the church, the tree of Jesse, a pictorial vision of this, with Jesse asleep at the bottom of a tree and Jesus Christ riding in the top branches, has been a cherished image for Christians. So, back to the metaphor, evergreen, deeply rooted, strong, resistant, spots of cool green in the midst of harsh aridity, shoots springing forth from the roots of dead ancient trees. That's the kind of thing Isaiah had in mind when he called us oaks of righteousness. It's no sugar maple, but I'll take it. But here's the thing, I actually don't think that Isaiah was talking about the kind of tree that would only put forth one or two shoots every few centuries. I think Isaiah had something bigger in mind. You see, I like to think that Isaiah knew about Jurupa Valley, California. He is a prophet after all, and so I imagine him looking halfway around the world to the place that would one day become the city of Jurupa Valley in Southern California, and I think that there he saw the Jurupa oak. The Jurupa oak is a kind of oak. The species is called a Palmer's oak. Just a little thigh-high shrub, sometimes a little taller. And the Jurupa one doesn't look like just one tree, but a whole bunch of them, some 70 stems growing in a great oval. And here's how it works. Periodically, a fire will rage through the hills on which it grows and will reduce the oak to ashes. But The Palmer's oak has evolved in response to the pressure placed on it by these fires. So when one comes raging through this normally slow-growing tree, which has been storing up its energy for just such an occasion, regenerates itself, sending up new sprouts springing from the ground. And with each fire, the sprouts spread further and further and further. Because there are no wood rings or old wood left behind after such fires, we can't date the Jurupa oak perfectly accurately, but scientists can estimate. Well, some claim that its age is three times as much as this. Scholarly consensus is that the Jurupa oak is right in the neighborhood of 13,000 years old. That's older than Jesus, older than Isaiah, that's older than agriculture itself. And if these estimates are correct, the Jurupa oak is the oldest living thing in the world. For 13,000 years, time after time after time, this tree has been patiently growing along, waiting for a crisis that reduces it to ash, and then exchanging beauty for ashes, springing from the ground and continuing on. Generations and generations after Isaiah made his prophecy, the young man Jesus would astonish everyone in his hometown synagogue by standing up, reading today's passage to them, and claiming that it had been fulfilled in him. He was the good news, he said. He, the binder up, the proclaimer of liberty, the comforter. I am the oak of righteousness, he said, and I have good news for the oppressed. I will free the captives. I will free the slaves on plantations in the American South, Jesus said. I will free the sex workers in Boston. I will free the grad students held captive by Sallie Mae. I will release the prisoners, he said. I will release prisoners held without charge in Guantanamo. I will release the sick ones chained up on one side by hospitals who charge too much and on the other by insurance companies who pay too little. I shall raise up the former devastations, Jesus said. They will rebuild St. Bernard Parish and Fukushima and Darfur. I will hand out forgiveness, he said, and mercy. And where you create ashes, I will create beauty and loveliness and gentleness. These will be the Lord's revenge. He said these things, and they did not happen in his time. And so they laughed at him. But he kept saying them. And so they did what the governments and the corporations always do when people threaten them with justice or with beauty, with forgiveness or with mercy. They killed him. They cut down the last shoot of Jesse, the last branch of David. They cut down the one and only heir of God's own anointing. But here's the thing. Maybe once upon a time the tree of Jesse was like that old oak of Abraham in Hebron. Maybe once upon a time it would put all its hope in one lonely shoot every 500 years that a child could cut with her safety scissors. But not anymore. God had seen the fires roll across the landscape of this world too many times. God had seen the world reduced to ashes too many times. And so by the time they cut Jesus down, the tree of Jesse had evolved. When the fire passed over and cut him down, he was like the Jurupa oak. Suddenly there were 12 of him, all with the same DNA, all with the same heart, all with the same Holy Spirit in them. And they said, I have been anointed to preach good news. Free the captives. Release the prisoners. And when they cut them down, 70 times 70 sprang up. And they said, I have been anointed to preach good news. Let there be building instead of devastation, peace instead of war. And when they cut them down, 70 times 70 times 70 sprang up. And they said, I have been anointed to preach good news. This is the year of the Lord's Jubilee. the year that debt will be forgiven and people will matter more than corporations, and we will organize and we will occupy until every prisoner is free and righteousness springs up before the nations. And if they cut them down, he will spring up again and again and again until all the world is a green, rustling grove of God's own planting, every single one chanting, I have been anointed to preach good news. They cut down the last shoot of the tree of Jesse, but he sprang up high, and he was you. And the same DNA, and the same heart, and the same spirit that was in him were in you. And that, says Isaiah, will be the green, dappled saving of the world. The Jerupa oak is quite possibly the oldest living thing in existence. God's promises are older still, and they do not rot, and they do not crack, and they do not die, and they will never stop growing back. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, God says, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. Say this. Say, I have been anointed to preach good news.
I have been anointed to preach good news.
Say, I am the shoot of Jesse.
I am the shoot of
Jesse. Say amen.
God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us pray. O God, of the seasons of the year, and of the seasons of our lives, we give you thanks and praise for the warm, wet waters of baptism and the outstretched hands of children who bless it, and for a child named Vera. We give you thanks for little ones who make us smile and give us hope in a sometimes wretched world. Thanks for green, strong trees and pine cones and red ribbon and the smell of winter air.
Thanks for a season of music almost as lovely as the news it bears of joy to the world and peace on earth to all people of goodwill. Thank you, O God, Ancient One, that you have shaped yourself, your word, in love, and captured it in flesh. Thank you, God, for a prophet named Isaiah, and for his fierce and piercing faith, for his poetry and prophecy, for arresting our attentions, for yelling and pointing, cajoling and charming, until we began to see what he saw, that you, our God, had come and are coming still. O Holy One, Ancient of Days, hear our prayers for your whole world, for peace and goodwill over all your beautiful earth. And it is here in your house and in Christ's name that we gather to remember before you the poor and the helpless, the cold and the hungry, the oppressed and the despairing, the sick in body and in mind, and those who mourn, the lonely and the unloved, the aged and the little children, and all who know not the loving kindness of God. We remember soldiers, the young of our nations, laden with weapons and heavy with war. And we remember, O God, all those who rejoice with us but on another shore and in a greater light, that multitude which no one can number, whose hope was in the Word made flesh, and with whom we forevermore are one. In Christ's name, we are moved to hold on our hearts those who visited this sanctuary this past week and who left their prayers in our keeping. We pray with those who left prayers in many and various languages, whose words and hearts you know well. We pray with those who ache for employment, for good health, for the well-being of their loved ones. We pray with those who pray for peace in the land of Jesus' birth and for goodwill among nations and peoples. And tenderly, tenderly, we pray for those among us known by name and dear to us who in this holy season are in need of your comfort. For Joyce and George, Thomas, Amanda, Ken, Caitlin, Sue, Margot, Marina, Betty, Eric, Gwen. May the angels bend so very close to these, our sisters and brothers, whispering to them of that peace that passes all human understanding. In silence, we name before you those people and those circumstances that lay especially upon our hearts this day. and in the words that Jesus taught to his first disciples. We are also in our time and day bold to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Here at Old South, We take our gifts and we bless them. The way we bring our children and bless and baptize them. Because our gifts are so much stronger when we first bless them and then offer them to God. We give and we invite you to give this morning, not out of a burdensome sense of duty, but trusting for the things God will continue to do in your life, that from the wealth and strength God has entrusted you, that you and me, we will continue to give to God to serve the ongoing needs of this community and the world around us, from victims of disaster to the hungry and homeless right here in our midst. Our gifts of time, talent, and yes, money. It matters. I invite you this morning to give abundantly out of the love and compassion in your heart, and to bless your offering and to give it. I invite you to repeat after me, holding your offering in your hand. Lord, bless this offering. Multiply it for your service. Thank you for entrusting it to me. I now give back this small portion. Amen. Let us now watch the ways God transforms these gifts into God's own acts of mercy, grace, power, and compassion. I invite you to expect miracles. This morning's offering will now be given and received. Thanks be to God.
Good Christians, all rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give heed to what I say. News, news, Jesus Christ was born today. Oh, the nest before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born.
Let us stand. God of many names, we thank you for this opportunity to give back to you through these gifts to the world, for the support of your work, whether close at home or far away. We ask that you multiply these gifts, their impact in mission and service, but most of all, O God, multiply the gratitude in our hearts and the love for others, that we may love the way you love us. And all the people said, Amen.
Jesus said, "You ought always to pray and not to faint. Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger women and men. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers, but for power equal to your tasks. Then the doing of your work will be no miracle. You will be the miracle. And every day you will wonder at the beauty and the richness of life that has come to you through Jesus Christ." And now may the blessing of Almighty God, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer go with you this and every day. And let the whole church say,
Amen.